podcast is sponsored by Ulrich & Short. Are you looking to reformulate and simplify your products to meet consumer demands?
Ulrich & Short are designers and suppliers of clean and plant-based functional ingredients.
Helping food manufacturers to solve process challenges, simplify label declarations, and improve nutritional profiles.
To speak to a development technologist, visit www.cleanlabelingredients.com.
Welcome to the O for Food's Sake podcast, where we unwrap the joys and struggles of working in the food industry so you can thrive in what you do best while sustaining a rewarding and fulfilling career or business. We are your hosts, Lucy Wager, food industry consultant,
and Amy Wilkinson, food industry coach. We've worked in the food industry for the last 20 years, and we're here to share with you the benefit of our hindsight. Our podcast is for you to find new ways to cope with the daily struggles, but mostly to inspire you to work on what's not working to ultimately improve your career or business long term.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of O for Food's Sake. Today, we are talking about the power of saying no. This is something that Amy and I have touched on in other episodes. And it's featured in various episodes that we've done.
Probably every single episode we've done.
Yes, to be fair. Yeah. But we decided that it deserved an episode in its own right because it's something that Amy and I talk about amongst ourselves. It's something that we need to remind ourselves of on a pretty much daily basis. So we decided it was really worth us honing in on the power of saying no and sort of really looking at what the problem is.
Yeah, because I think we talk about it and why, I don't know if we talk about why it's so important and also how you blooming well do it, because it's quite, yeah. It can be quite difficult. Or I guess if you don't really understand why it's important to be able to say it, then you're less likely to do it.
So it's a barrier, isn't it? That's a big barrier for doing it. Because I think both we, on the people-pleasing episode, we talked about it quite a lot, because if you're that type of person, which we both are, our natural instinct is to say yes to everything. Yeah. The reality is that you get to a point in your life where it's just not possible to say yes to everything.
And I think that people-pleasing thing, we learn it from a very young age because, you know, it's normal to want to people-please because we're pack animals and humans, all of that sort of stuff. And even like early in your career, it is important that you are somebody that says yes to things and takes on opportunities. And it is what progresses your career to start with. And then it gets to a point where it actually starts to hold you back because we all only have a finite capacity. And I think what also happens is life gets in the way. And that doesn't necessarily even mean that you're having a family and having kids and all of that. It can, life just, you just become more grown up, don't you?
Yeah,
you have more responsibilities.
Exactly.
Mental load and just even the, you know, the concerns about having a mortgage or the stuff you've got to do around the house, all of it starts building up and none of us have as much capacity, but we still continue this people pleasing. Well, I've always said yes to everything, so I'm going to keep saying yes to everything.
I think the other reason I think it's really important to talk about is because one of the, I don't know whether this is still the case, but one of the values at Bakkavor when I first started as a graduate was the can-do approach.
I think it still is, yeah.
Which I love and I wholeheartedly buy into because like I pride myself on like, you know, being a can-do person. And, and I think for me, the ability to say no contradicts that can-do approach, but it doesn't have to. And you can still have that attitude and you can still live by that value and still be able to say no. It's understanding what to say no to and how to say no, isn't it? And I really wanted to make that point.
Yeah, and what your priorities are, because I'm exactly the same. You know, I've always had that sort of can-do attitude, but also both of us get really excited by new opportunities. Like everything that comes our way, we're like, oh yeah, that's brilliant. That's really exciting. And don't want to miss out. You know, it's the FOMO thing, isn't it? We don't want to miss out on opportunities, but then we end up frazzling ourselves. And I just think about a couple of weeks ago when you were like, I've sort of double booked myself, but I'm going to drive to Burton-on-Trent and then I'm going to drive across to Stamford for this other meeting and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, you're not. Just say no to one of the things. It's that, isn't it?
It is that. And it's that stress bucket thing, because this is one of the things that goes for me when I'm like, when I'm feeling overwhelmed and there's lots going on, mm-hmm. I completely lose the ability to say no, mm-hmm. which then makes everything 100 times worse. Mm-hmm. And that's why I need you. And it's a good job that meeting was with you. You could just say, this is crazy. Yeah. You lunatic of a woman.
Yeah. And we ended up having that same meeting yesterday, didn't we? But
yeah.
one of us was in a car. One of us was, you were like, oh my God, I forgot to put Bella in after school club. And I was getting phone calls from my dad because they wouldn't let Holly out of school to go with him because I forgot to tell them. So, you know, the reality is we probably wanted to say yes to that person because, you know, that there's a good opportunity coming out of that and stuff like that. But actually we're all human and people understand, like, we can't all juggle everything all the time.
Yeah. And there's normally a way around it. Yeah. You know, if you still want to do something, then you'll find a way, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we've already talked about some of the reasons why we want to say yes. So it's that people pleasing, the fear of missing out. And you know, I struggle with like social things as well, because there's always things being organized. And I must have mentioned kids' birthday parties.
Well, you've definitely mentioned it to me. I don't know if you have live, but.
Does anybody else feel the pain of kids' birthday parties? And it's that when you've got a family, it's the fear of you missing out, but it's the fear of your kids missing out. It's the fear of, you know, Sam not doing something that he wants to, you know, it's like the burden of the fear of missing out is so real.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, that was an example of that when we, that meeting that we didn't want to miss out on, basically.
Yeah.
But there's also that's all like the sort of nice side of it, that they're the sort of positive reasons for wanting to say yes. But there's also this, sometimes we actually might not want to do something,
mm-hmm.
and we still find it difficult to say no because of the fear of confrontation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how the other people are going to react, or how it's going to be perceived.
Well, and I can think of loads of examples of that when I'm working with MPD teams on their assertiveness and yes. cross-functional working. So, you know, it is that you're sitting in a feasibility meeting or whatever, and somebody that's a little bit aggressive pushes back and says, well, that's MPD's, you know, remit or something. And you know it isn't, but you're too scared to confront that person, or, you know, don't have the confidence in yourself to be that assertive in that situation.
Yeah.
And that is about learning to be assertive and sort of taking, and when we come on to how to do it a little bit, there's that you're saying no to the task, not the person. You know, you've got to take that emotion out of it, and that it not being personal, but it can feel really personal. And that's the thing, isn't it, with confrontation, particularly at work. Well, even outside of work.
Yeah, absolutely is. And it's that, I think for me as well, another fear for me is that feeling that it looks like a weakness. So, and they're quite related, because if you're saying no to someone and that fear of confrontation, there's also that, and this is tied into people pleasing as well. Like, I don't want them to see it as a weakness in me that I'm saying no.
Mm-hmm. It's so fun. I'm sat here nodding and smiling because I did a talk earlier in the week about, you know, my resilience talk and at the burnout. And one of the things that I talk about is how I was trying to do everything and say yes to everything and exactly what we talked about in the last point, avoiding confrontation, say with the technical manager who said that specs couldn't get done. So yeah. I'm writing specs at midnight. Yeah. It's that same thing, because I didn't want the Sainsbury's account to be seen as the one that had some sort of weakness. So I thought I had to say yes to everything. And what I've learned over time is actually, and I thought that's what made a good manager or a good leader, just doing everything and getting everything done, you know, really task orientated, and it needs to get done. But actually, a good leader and a manager is somebody that pushes back and says, we don't have the resource for that, or says, you know, that's not in my remit. We need to get more resourcing. We need to do this, that, and the other. That's what makes a good leader, not somebody who is just going to completely frazzle themselves.
Because it's not sustainable, is it? It's just not. You've got to recognise when something isn't sustainable and it's not going to work for the for the greater good and the long term.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come back and bite you.
Yeah. But it's actually quite it's holding that mirror up to yourself and saying, actually, I'm being a bit of a, by saying yes to everything, I'm being a bit of a control freak here, and my ego is driving this because I don't want people to think less of me. And actually, usually when you hold a mirror up like that, you're like, oh, right, yeah, that isn't helpful. I need to be more, you know, do things that are more helpful to me. And that is saying no.
Yeah.
But it is hard.
It is hard, but it's also quite empowering, isn't it? And freeing once you start doing it. And I mean, we'll talk about going on. We'll talk about how to say no. But I mean, this is something I really, really struggle with. And I think you need to find things that are easier to say no to see the impact that some small things have, to then try and work it into the bigger things and identifying the bigger things.
Yeah, it's the little things that you say no to, and oh my God, the world does not fall in, and you can start to build it up. It's in the same way that when I talk about confidence, it's like just do it, just start. You're never going to get more confident. You're never going to get better at saying no unless you start practicing it.
Yeah.
And just do it. You know, push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit before. It's not like you're going to say no to the world.
Yeah. And things are rarely as bad as you imagine as well.
Yeah.
You catastrophize in your mind, don't you, about if I say no to this, it's going to be an absolute disaster. And the reality is it's not.
And everybody's going to hate me. And
and
often people just go, oh, right, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll get someone else to do it. You're like, what? I've been up all night worrying about this.
Yeah. And the more examples that you gain, the more confident you can become. I'm thinking about that example that we talked about on the phone the other day, Amy, which wasn't particularly saying no to one thing. It was a sort of bigger thing. And Amy, it was something that Amy helped coach me with. And it's stuck with me.
Mm.
I mean, that was probably 2 years ago now, but that whole scenario has really stuck with me and shown me that something I made a big deal about in my head.
Yeah.
I was given the tools to be able to address it. It was dead. It was easy.
Yeah.
It was easy.
Yeah.
And the outcome was so positive.
Yeah. But we wind ourselves up and think.
Yeah.
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 So should we talk a bit about why it's important specifically? Because these are the things that I need reminding of, I think we all need reminding of, to help us on this journey of if you identify something that you think you should say no to. And if you haven't listened to our book club episode on the No Club, that would be really worth listening to, because I think that's like the first step.
Because that's almost identifying. It's the step before, isn't it? It's identifying the things that you should be saying no to, and not necessarily how you do it, but it's those non-promotable tasks that we talk about in that.
Because I think some people might be listening to this thinking, I've got that feeling of like too much going on, but you might not be able to identify which things to say no to first, or, you know.
Yeah, how to prioritize, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. But the reason it's, once you start to understand that you do need to say no to things, and you start to see the power, you need to remind yourself of why it's important. And it's really important for our mental health.
Yeah. It's mental health, but it can be your physical health as well. Like, if you're running yourself ragged, driving around the country, you know, whatever, I always think that, you know, when I talk about my burnout, and people think of that as a mental breakdown, for want of a better word. Yes, it was to a certain degree, but it was my body that's actually stopped me in the end, because I wasn't listening to everything that was going on with my mental health. It was like I physically couldn't get out of bed. So it's important for our mental and our physical health. So just our overall well-being, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've only got finite capacity.
We have.
And it is about setting those boundaries, which both of us are a bit rubbish at. but it's so important, and I've definitely got better at it. I'd say I've got better at it in my personal life as well. And it's really about setting boundaries. So boundaries being, you know, like, no, I'm not going to do anything this weekend, and I'm not going to get sucked in or whatever. That was my boundary for this weekend. I know I have got one play date today, but the rest of the weekend there's nothing. We're recording this on a Saturday morning. So where are our boundaries? But that was for a reason, wasn't it? Because we said no to recording when we were both exactly. weren't feeling very well.
Exactly. And I think I've just, as you've been talking, I think I've been sort of thinking about myself, and I think I'm actually better at saying no in a professional capacity mm-hmm. than I am in a personal capacity.
Yeah.
Much better, actually. But my inability to say no in personal capacities impacts my work because I'm yes. so tired.
Yeah. And you've often, like, we will be trying to put something in the diary and it's like, oh, I've got that assembly, I've got this, that and the other. And I'm not criticising that in any way, but it is the reality, needing to look at your life overall and not just yeah. be, you know, it's not just about, We are not a work person or a home person, are we? One impacts yeah. the other. So, and even like this weekend where we've got one play date, that's it, not doing anything else all weekend. In a couple of weeks, I've got some travel coming up. I know that I need that rest
yeah.
because otherwise it will impact my work because I'm not going to be as good. So it's that work-life balance thing, isn't it? That's what boundaries are about. And that's why saying no to some things is important.
It is. And it's, for me, it's about trying to protect myself and valuing me mm-hmm. and my time because I just spread myself so thinly.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make sure the kids go to like every single thing that they want to go to. And it's so Sam, my husband, is the one who's always telling me I'm doing too much. We need to protect our weekends. He's always going on at me about mm-hmm. that. So I am really trying really, really hard. And the other reason it's important is when we start saying those things and we free up a bit of mind time and a bit of time, there's other things that come that are better mm-hmm. that we do want to say yes to and are more important to the things that could have been filling our time that we weren't saying no to.
Yeah. And you don't even, if you're so busy filling your time, you don't even see those things, do you? The opportunities don't come. I find that in my business, if I just flip and relax and sit back a bit, opportunities come my way. But if I'm just like so busy, back-to-back calls and like trying to do all of the admin myself and forgetting to delegate stuff to Steph that helps me and Lucy with stuff, then it all becomes all-consuming and I don't see those opportunities in front of me.
Yeah. And this is, I was reading around this subject before we planned it, and I came across that Pareto's law was mentioned mm-hmm. as it's related to everything in life. But I thought it was really interesting.
Well, I always just think about it in terms of rate of sale and which products you should be delisting from a range. But it's the same thing with your time and your effort, isn't it?
It's so true. Because if you take on too much, so it's exactly what you've just said, like that, like firefighting mentality.
Yeah.
You end up basically giving everything sort of equal time because you can't judge where you should be spending your effort.
Yeah. And well, it's exactly what we talked about in the overwhelm episode, isn't it? And in the masterclass that we did, you know, you have to calm yourself down to be able to think rationally because when you're just saying yes to everything and you're filling all your time, you're not making rational decisions. We haven't actually said what Pareto's law is. It's the 80-20 yes. rule, basically. Yeah.
So it's basically 20% of your effort yields 80% of your results.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're whirring away, giving sort of equal time to everything, not properly prioritizing everything, then you're going to struggle to find the high yielding opportunities, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's particularly for Amy and I, where we're working for ourselves, that can be particularly true. Mm-hmm. but particularly, you know, being people, and I think this is why I'm better at it at work than I am at home. Because for me, it's where when it's a work effort, it's easier for me to identify the high yielding opportunities or the importance for my clients, for example.
Yeah. So I find it's almost there's defined KPIs there, isn't there? Yeah. You know, is it going to deliver cash? Is it going to deliver this? Is it going to deliver that? Whereas actually at home, it's like, how do you measure joy with guilt?
Yeah. And managing other people's expectations as well.
Yeah.
I think that is a use for me. That's a useful way of looking at things, like a check to yourself. How important is this? Like, let me think about my 80-20 rule.
Yeah. But you have to slow down enough in the first place to even think about that. Because if you're running from the one thing to the next, you don't even. So you have to have said no to something in the first place to be able to give yourself that pause. I mean, I had a coaching session this week, as in me being coached, and I was talking about I'm going off at a tangent a bit, but I think it's useful to hear that coaches also struggle with this stuff, that I have days where I feel dithery is how we described it. And I don't make the right decisions. I just say yes to everything because it's just like, yeah, whatever, like just get off my back. And we talked about, and I, you know, I've trained in a lot of this stuff, you know, that positive intelligence stuff we've talked about before and taking a pause. But it's still, if you are somebody that is really driven, it's really hard to do. So I'm going to sound like, well, it doesn't really matter what I sound like. It's just me. Right. I have crystals. Like I went through a crystal stage. I'm not like into crystal healing or anything like that. But I went, you know, I've been through every stage, haven't I? But I went through a crystal stage. But I quite like having, I don't necessarily like think much about what, you know, like it's got special powers or something, but I quite like rubbing. I have some in my pockets and stuff. And we talked about having a crystal on my desk for in those moments where it's all, I'm feeling really dithery and it could, I'm thinking about it now out loud. I could even use it for when I really know that I want to say no to something, but I'm feeling like I don't want to, and picking up that stone and, or whatever, you know, it doesn't have to be a crystal. It can be whatever you want, but I'm sort of going to use that. You know, we've talked about anchors before.
Yeah.
That's going to be what do I really want in life? What is my purpose? And we talked about, you know, my higher purpose, feeling like making the food industry a happier place. And, you know, I properly got into it. And I'm going to do that. And I'm going to really use that to help guide me on the things that I want to say yes and say no to, because it is that. I'm feeling like I'm getting emotional talking about this. I don't know. But it's what we're talking about, isn't it? It's having that guide.
It is.
It's in the knowing of what you should be saying yes and should be saying no to.
And it's something to sort of break the mental cycle. So you touch it and it brings you back. I've got a crystal that is really tactile that I use for exactly that. Like if I'm feeling stressed and I guess it. But it's the same, like people have stress balls on their desk and that kind of thing. Yeah. It's whatever. It's just a break in that connection.
It's a pause, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a pause, but I also am going to like charge it up in my NLP technique way of anybody that's done stuff with me and knows about anchoring and I've done anchors with them. I'm going to use that as like my vision for the future where we're all so much happier in the food industry. That is my, but you know, I want to look back on my life and feel like I've made a difference. And we're going off at a tangent on the saying no thing, but it is so important. It's exactly why it's important to be able to say no to things, because if it's not leading to your values and what you want, then you shouldn't be bloody saying yes to it.
No. And I don't want to demonize saying yes, because there's nothing wrong with saying yes. It's about making better choices and being more mindful of how you spend your time, isn't it?
Yeah. The whole point of it is that it frees you up to allow you to say yes to things.
Yes. You know,
so that we're not demonizing it. We're creating the space to say yes to what you really want to.
Yeah.
Which is saying yes. Exactly. Sounds really American and wanky, but saying yes to you, you know?
Right.
She's looking at it that way. Anyway, how to do it.
And I'm looking at Amy to tell us all.
Well, I guess there is, we've just talked about, isn't there, that taking that pause. There's definitely taking a pause when you are asked to do something and really thinking about whether you want it. So deflecting and deferring to give you a bit of headspace and time is a really good technique to use. But also thinking about asking yourself the questions, if I say yes to this, is it going to prevent me focusing on something else that's more important? Well, saying yes to this, the second question, is this going to make me even more tired and stressed? Because everybody listening, we know you are. You work in the food industry. There's no way you're not. Those things. So taking a pause and really thinking about the consequences for you as an individual before you actually say yes or no to whatever you're going to say. And if the answer to either of those questions is no, it's likely that you need to be saying no to what you are. So if you, it can, you know, we're humans and it's really hard to say, it is hard to say no. Some people find it really easy, so when I do workshops and I talk to people about it, there's usually, say if there's like 10 or 15 people in the room, I usually say who finds it easy to say no to things. And there's usually one person that puts a hand up and everyone else is like, no, it's really hard. But the ways you can do it are softening the blow by offering alternatives. So, you go on.
I was just going to say again, the No Club episode that we did is really good on this point. That I think this is the big thing that I took away from that book, was some of the suggestions of how to soften the blow, like suggesting somebody else that might be better for the task, because it's always the people that never seem to do anything or never get asked to do anything. Like there's certain people that the people pleasers generally that get asked to do loads of stuff
because people know you'll say yes.
Yeah, but there's no harm in suggesting other people that might be better than you at doing it.
Yeah. Or saying I can't do this, but I can do. I can do this for you at a later date, you know, offering them something else that you do want to do. I think at work, it's really important if you are going to say no or say yes to something, that you make it clear that you're not doing it just to be bloody awkward, you know, sort of backing it up. You don't have to back up with a reason, like no is no. But if you're saying it to your boss, for instance, it's not that easy to say it. But you can say, I can do that for you, but it's going to impact X. You know, it's like, I can't do everything. So.
Yeah. And the important.
Push it back to them.
Yeah. And the other thing is that sometimes it's quite important to not say yes or no, because you might not immediately know what impact saying yes might have, especially in a work scenario. So it's consumption, and that is difficult to sort of say, can I come back to you on that? Can I go away and have a think? Because you might find that by saying yes to something, it's going to impact X, Y, and Z, but you need some time to consider what that is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also, it is important to not make up bullshit excuses.
You've always been cranky, so you're okay.
We'll have to put a warning on this episode. It is important that you don't lie and, you know, make up excuses of why you're not doing something. It's okay to be honest. You just own the fact that you're saying no, because there's usually a good reason for it. They're valid reasons. And actually, you don't have to give, you know, they all say that, don't you? You don't have to give an explanation. No is a complete sentence. But I know if you are like us and a people pleaser, that can feel really, really difficult.
Yeah.
But actually, you need to be clear with people, because if you say something like, oh, I'd really love to, but I can't, then they're just going to like come back to you and be like, well, we could do it this other time or whatever. Just be clear.
That's such a stressful conversation, isn't it? Because you're like, you're trying to end this and you're like, keep going on and on and on.
People aren't going to hate you for holding your boundaries and saying no. If they do, they're not the right people to be around anyway. So
absolutely. You know. And I want to end this episode, Amy, with this quote that I found, which I think is so powerful. So
who is it? Who is it from?
Nia Joy.
Okay.
By saying yes when you need to say no, you cripple the most important relationship in your life, the relationship between you and you. Oh,
I think that's a great way to finish the episode. Yeah. So I hope you found that useful. Basically, pause, push back, be honest, and just say no if you need to say no. You've got this.
Let's look after ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope that this has been useful to you. As ever, we would love it if you could rate and review the podcast on your podcast app. It really does help us reach and support more foodies out there.
We'd also love it if you'd come and join us in the Facebook group, the Over Food Sake community. And if you want to get in touch with us personally, Lucy is available for consultancy advice and training and can be found on LinkedIn as Lucy Wager.
And if you want to reach out to Amy for any one-to-one coaching, group facilitation or training, then contact her on LinkedIn at Amy Wilkinson Coach. Thanks for listening and see you next time.
See you next time.
This podcast is sponsored by Ulrich & Short. Are you looking to reformulate and simplify your products to meet consumer demands?
Ulrich & Short are designers and suppliers of clean and plant-based functional ingredients,
helping food manufacturers to solve process challenges, simplify label declarations, and improve nutritional profiles.
To speak to a development technologist, visit www.cleanlabelingredients.com.